So something that in the beginning seemed awkward and hard to navigate became a place of safety and security and beauty for me, but only because I gave it time.
Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth, writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your living room together.
This week on More Than Small Talk, we are talking about Love is Weird, because this episode is originally airing on Valentine's Day. You might be listening later, but we are going with it. So last week we talked about general awkwardness.
Yes.
And this week we're going to talk about how love is weird, because it seems like that's where we can experience the most awkwardness.
Yes. Well, what's an awkward moment with someone you love? And I want you to ask that of a friend or someone that is close to you. And I would love to hear some of your answers. But today I want to hear your answers, Holly and Jennifer.
I would love for you to go first, because you gave us a preview, and all I know is yours involves a pig show.
It does. So I was raised in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I was a city girl all the way through. And I met this country guy in my first year of college that I am now married to all these years later. And he asked me to go out on a date. I was super excited. And so I like dressed up, and he came to the door, got in his car, and he took me to a pig show.
Now, what exactly is a pig show? I've never even been to one.
It is a place where people show pigs. Kids and teenagers and adults have worked all year to show these pigs, and somebody ends up getting a ribbon and some money, and it was not the best. It was not Richard's finest hour, I can say. And I remember walking in and thinking, I'm at a pig show, and I'm in heels, and I didn't know what to do. So that was the beginning of decades.
So he won your heart and
sweet love.
Yes.
You know, he was kind, though. That's the deal. It was awkward. It was a pig show. We learned a lot about who we were in that moment, but we also learned that he was really a cool guy, and I still like him a lot.
Yes. So mine is similar. I met Mark, and he asked me to go on a bike ride, and I grew up in Houston, where the roads are very flat, and bike rides involved my 10-speed pink Schwinn. So we go to a local place called Devil's Den and proceed to go on an 11-mile mountain bike ride.
Oh, my word.
Thank goodness. Liked him, so I didn't want to say, you know, mercy. So I remember specifically this one, like, huge hill, and he was like, come on. And I went down that thing screaming the whole time, being like, help me, Jesus. And made it. And then at the end of the trail, he had disappeared. And I was so tired and sweaty, I got off my bike and I was walking it and like getting all teary and didn't know he was right around the next bend. But yes, that was our first date. So I had no idea what I was getting into. But then we got pizza and fell in love, and he forgave me for biking again.
There is a theme developing here. Let's see if it continues.
Okay, so I was debating on which one to share, but I'm going to just jump right in because love is weird. So my husband was about to propose. I knew it was coming that weekend because my mom had called me and said, hey, you know, Jonathan's trying to get in touch with your dad, and I just wanted to let him know. And I go, Mom, do you think that you're probably not supposed to be telling me that he's calling him? And she's like, oh, dear. So I knew it was coming. But we had this nice fancy date scheduled for Saturday. So obviously I was like, okay, it's going to happen Saturday. On Friday, I come down with kind of like the stomach flu. And my husband is an extreme extrovert. So he doesn't take me to one party. He takes me to two on Friday. It was over the top and much. And then I was super mean and cranky. And so I felt bad. And now as a mother, I would never do this. So I felt bad. So I was like, I will kiss him and be like, I'm sorry, I was a hag. You know, I love you. So he takes me back to his parents' house. I kiss him. And then he goes, hold on a second. So apparently it was a good kiss. So he leaves me. He sets me in front of the fireplace and I have this blanket. So I'm going from hot to cold to sweaty, you know, and I'm like, what is he doing? He went back to the dorm room 3 minutes away, got the ring. And by the time he had gotten there, I was all the way sick. So he comes in. It was the most awkward proposal ever. But what made it even worse is that I go, hold on a second, run upstairs, and I completely lose my dinner. And he's yelling up the stairs, is that a yes? Wait, are you throwing up? So I just started telling the story because I was like, no one needs to know that that happened. But yeah, so I like totally hurled right after he proposed.
Okay, so
and 20 years later, yeah, still super happy.
You know, I to pull a theme from this might feel impossible right now.
But not for me.
Okay. That's because you are good at that. Come on, Holly. Jump
yeah,
in with
I her. Mean, I think it, when my husband proposed, I thought he was joking. I literally said, don't tease me. I think that love is weird because we come into it with different expectations. Like, you were healed,
so
you know, and your now husband is like, first date equals pig show, you know?
Yeah.
I think mountain bike ride is like, you know, like a slow motion chick flick. And Mark's like thinking hardcore, you know, we're going to sweat and get mud trim all over us, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think that's when it comes to our close relationships.
Yeah.
Last time we talked more about like acquaintances and friends, you know, but like our BFFs and our spouses and our family, like, I think different expectations is what gets us. So,
I'm with you now.
Yeah.
I am
what
so
helps?
With you.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but I want to comment to that because having been married for a long time to a guy I really like a lot, like, I love him, but I really like who he is. If I had immediately said, you know what, this is not going to work. Like, this guy took me to a pig show, or he's really country, which I love, especially now, but I'm city, so this is not going to work, or his family's close and my family's fractured. Isn't it crazy how I think sometimes with love that we can set up the expectations so high that we might miss out on something really good?
Yeah, I think so. And I remember, like, when Mark and I got married, our personality types are very different. For those of you into Myers-Briggs, I'm an INFJ. He's an ISTJ. Like, when we read the descriptions, it says these types are completely incompatible and unlikely to even be friends. And thankfully, we had been married 5 years by then. And but our conversations at first felt like that bike ride, that I thought it would be emotional and soft and easy. And Mark was like all facts and fast moving. And, you know, and so we literally started going out to breakfast dates every Saturday morning so we could practice communicating. And over time we learned, but you don't go into a relationship with someone thinking, I'm going to have to learn how to talk to you and you're going to have to learn how to talk to me. And the same thing, I would have missed out on something really great. And we have come so far, but every once in a while, there's still something like hilarious that reminds me to be thankful for that. Like the other day I was like, I need margin in my life. And Mark said, isn't that fake butter? And I was like, yes, see, look how far we've come. Like, this only happens occasionally, and when it does, it's hilarious, but it takes work. You know, love is weird because
it takes
work.
It takes time.
Yeah.
That's the thing, too. It takes time.
Right.
And it wasn't just that for us that it was country and city. It was that it was close family, and then my family was in a place of healing at that time. It was that he had an entirely different culture than I had. He had a family that was huge. I didn't know my cousins. I didn't really have connection with grandparents, and yet he had connection with 36 first cousins, you know? And we can let those things separate us.
So I was thinking about our next question is like, what will help us with that? And so I wanted to lead in because I think our expectations, I am a romantic. I am watch too much Netflix, Jane Austen, all this stuff. And my expectations could have robbed me of some really deep, meaningful, weird love moments, you know, because I have this idea. And when it's not what we expect, we could feel this like kind of twinge of like disappointment, Or we can say, you know what, but real's so much better.
Yeah.
So, like, what can help us with the weird side of loving other people, whether it's our BFF or, like, whoever it is? Because usually we're drawn to the people who are complete polar opposites of ourselves, right?
Yeah.
So that means it's work. So what helps you in that moment?
I think something that helps when we discover those differences and expectations is not demanding that the other person become us.
Yes.
Which yeah. is tempting at first. You think, okay, of course, my way is right. And you need to just stop being so logical and yeah. become more emotional. And, you know, if you were just me, we'd be fine. Or maybe I'm the only one who's ever acted like that. No. But when we come to the point of saying, you know what, God made you the way you are too. And for some reason, he has brought us together. And it may take a while to figure out what that is. But even yesterday, Mark, my husband, was with the three of us, and he had yep. helped us with the business issue. He had gone through all these practical details. I remember Susie said, like, God knew what he was doing when he brought you two together.
Yeah.
And now I can see that. But for a long time, sure. I was just like, why isn't he like me?
Yeah.
So the turning point for me was when I released him from my way and tried to get to know, like, okay, who did God create you to be? And how can that be a strength instead of, you know, a sticking point in our relationship?
That's good.
That's really good. I'm, you know, I'm just sitting over here taking all of this in, because I remember for me, there was a transition in our marriage where I realized that God was giving me a gift by expanding my horizons. Like, there was a bigger world than the world I had grown up in. And here was this element of family that was different than anything I had ever experienced. And there was good in that. There was also awkward in that. You know, I had to learn that if I told a member of the family something, that they might tell the other family members, which means that 200 people just heard my secret. So I had to learn, you know, what that looked like. But I also realized, I remember being in the hospital at the age of 31, and I just found out that I had advanced stage cancer, and it had metastasized. And so I'm in the hospital room. We'd had all these tests come. Every time a doctor walked in, it was bad news. And I remember looking over, and my room was full of family, Eller family. And the hallways were full of Eller family. My dad walked into the room and walked over to me and said, okay, Suze, just give me the word and I'll clear all these people out, you know, because that's what he was used to. And I was like, no, no. So something that in the beginning seemed awkward and hard to navigate became a place of safety and security and beauty for me, but only because I gave it time.
Yeah. So if we think about, you know, what's one practical step we can take to sort of dealing with love is weird, and we like to wrap up with that in bonus points, if you can do it in 5 minutes or less. And I also want to say, you know, we're talking about this in a lighthearted way. We know a lot of people who are listening are in the depths right now when it comes to a intimate relationship in their lives. And we never want to come across as sounding like this is easy, or, you know, we know that not only is love is weird, but also it's about blood and sweat and tears. And sometimes things are broken that can't be fixed. And so we just want you to know, if you're having a hard time with that today, that we are thinking about you and praying for you too. You know, we hope maybe this episode will make you smile and give you some hope and encouragement, but we also want to always be tender to people who are listening. So, you know, I think for me, when I came to that point of being able to release expectations, it's because I finally took it to God. That can sound cliche, but I was the same way when I got married. I had all these romantic movie ideal, like the world's idea of this is how marriage is going to be. This is how love is going to be. And so I had to go to God and say, you know, what do you want this relationship to be? And is it even about the two of us? Is it really more about you and you bringing us together? And why did you bring us together? And and so that was a process too. It wasn't like one prayer session and I was like, okay, everything's going to be fine. But I think that's the breakfast dates came out of that, was like, okay, this is a skill I can start practicing. Yeah. And so if someone is feeling stuck in a relationship today, it's okay to tell God, you know what, this is really hard. And this person seems half crazy a lot of the time, or they think I'm half crazy a lot of the time, but you've put us together. So help me find one tiny thing I can do today to start taking a step toward them.
Yeah, I kind of have a two-step thing that I do, and it takes less than 5 minutes. When I'm at a place to where our differences want to create friction, I will turn around and get alone with the Lord, and I'll begin to thank the Lord very specifically for the things that are good about him. And some of those things are exactly like what can cause the friction too. But thank you, Lord, that he is loyal, sometimes loyal to a fault. But thank you that he's loyal, because that means he's loyal to me and he's loyal to the kids. Thank you that he is deeply kind. And what happens is that it causes the strengths to kind of rise to the top a bit in my thought process. But then secondly, I will take just a note card and I will write something to him and just say, I am so grateful that you are loyal and that you are kind. And I want you to know today that those are traits inside of you that matter to me. And it's little, but it shifts. It transitions my thinking.
Something that I do, because I love that that's affirming. So if we affirm one another and even affirm ourselves. So I always look at and say this to myself and even to the people that are in my life that I love. We might be wired differently, but that doesn't mean we were wired wrong. Yeah. And so when I look at them as God hardwired you that way, and I don't want to dismiss it. I want to figure out how to love you in a way that makes sense and doesn't drive us crazy. But like when I step back and say, even myself, because I spent my whole life saying there's something wrong with me. When I look at it and say, I was hardwired by God to love and respond to other people in this way, and that's not wrong.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to be talking about how loving yourself is awkward. So we're going to be throwing out some words like self-care and so many fun things, but I think you're really going to like this conversation.
Well, yes, because if it's hard to love other people, I think sometimes it's even harder to love ourselves. So yeah. I would say, you know, just acknowledging today that love is tricky for all of us. It's something that takes work and that we need to figure out. And no matter what commercials and movies and books try to tell us, real love takes real work.
Yeah, well, we have a resource for you, and it's kind of a fun one. Jennifer has a Valentine's Day gift for you. You can get a free printable called A Better Way to Love That Heart of Yours from her site at jenniferreneewatson.com. You can also catch up on all of our previous podcasts through klrc.com. Go to the KLRC's More Than Small Talk page, click on the individual episode, and leave us a comment sharing your thoughts and one of your awkward moments with someone you love.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available through the More Than Small Talk page at klrc.com. You can subscribe to More Than Small Talk through your favorite podcast app so you won't ever miss an episode.